Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy game day, everybody. Good morning.
I usually have like just like the nonsense thing to say. No, I'm not even feeling that clever today.
I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
I'm
the Jackson Hawes anytime touchdown bet, and for these guys last touchdown bet's got me going. I'm ready to go.
Sure. I guess it's one way to generate excitement for yourself. I'm just here saying over and over and over and over and over and over in my head. It can't be that easy, right?
I know. It 11.5 point favorites right now on FanDuel. That's where I've checked it. And we'll see how it goes. We got to pace ourselves today. But I'm very, very I have become very, very excited for tonight's game. Because before I was sort of, I mean, you knew where I was at, where I'm like, all right, the rivalry's lost a little bit of luster for me. Because it's not really, I don't like the Dolphins. The Dolphins don't like the Bills. But it's a smackdown constantly. But you know what? Now that it's actually game day, giddy up. Let's ride.
Yeah, 3-0. No, I'm on the opposite end of this. And by the way, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. And I'm bored. It's 10 a.m. on game day, and I'm bored.
Nah, let's go.
I'm like the child that was handed a shiny toy. Played with it for like 5 minutes. I'm back to like, I'm bored. Like, I don't understand. Miami can't be this bad, right? The saying is like, nothing good in life comes easy, right? Well, the Bills sitting at 3-0 can pretty much come as easy as it gets over the last two games based on tonight. Based on how poorly it should go. And yet I'm sitting here going, these guys are professionals, right? It can't be this bad. It can't. Not for a second game in a row, right? It can't be this easy.
Well, and that's kind of an interesting way to look at it, too. Especially last week, they dominate the Jets. Allen doesn't even have to have a particularly good game. It's one of his first games where the Bills win, and he doesn't score an offensive touchdown.
Matter of fact, he gets smacked in the nose.
Yeah, like that's like the highlight of the – well, he had a 40-yard rush. But that's like the highlight of the day is him having to run off the field real quick, get his nose checked, and go back in. And Mitch Trubisky is the one that hits maybe the throw of the day. But – to be fair, I mean, you look at what the Dolphins have done up to this year, so far this year, Daniel Jones dials them up. It's not even a contest, 33-8. Last week with the Patriots offense looks unstoppable against them. Ramondre Stevenson is putting up Marshall Faulk total yard kind of stuff. They dominate them, and that's in Miami, one of those early hell on earth kind of games where it's hot as the sun, doesn't matter. Now you're coming into Buffalo. It's probably the last time the Dolphins will play at the current Highmark Stadium. It's Thursday night football in a short week. They're dealing with injuries as well. Those big spreads, 11.5 and up, or really even like
right.
8.5 up, like they're always very, ooh, that's too much. Like you said, it's an NFL game. These are professionals. These games are typically close. The current state of the Dolphins compared to the current state of the Bills, it points to an embarrassment. I think that's ultimately like maybe the biggest problem and where maybe you have a little bit lack of an excitement. I mean, I heard from people yesterday for Shopin the Bulldog calling it almost like lamenting the fact that the Dolphins are not competitive and kind of like wishing for
right.
a little bit more juice here. And to be fair, I was there most of this week. Now I kind of just want to see how bad this can get. I want to see, are the Dolphins going to fire McDaniel if this is a disaster? Or like we took calls the other day, no, it might be after the Jets game. Or Sal even mentioned, it just may not be in this window right here. Like they may want to go a little bit longer.
They might want to go into November.
Into November. What have you. I want to see how bad this can get. It's Thursday Night Football. It's on a short week. Both teams are dealing with injuries. Bills are going to be without Matt Milano and Ed Oliver. That seemed to not matter against the Jets team that actually did have a good performance week one against Pittsburgh. And they were at home. Bills now are in Orchard Park. The Dolphins have to come up here. They have never played particularly well here with Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel at the helm.
I would say last year the offense for Miami played mm-hmm. pretty well because they had to keep up. Tyler Bass has to make a 60-yarder to win the football game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go ahead and think to myself it's going to be any sort of difficult evening, because when have the Dolphins, in this entirety of Josh Allen being the quarterback, when have the Dolphins stopped the Bills? Made them punt more than twice? You could point to that one game down in Miami where the Bills lose 21-19. That's really the only time that you can think of like, when did you make the Bills punt more than twice? Oh, wait, never mind. When they won the division. So both of those occurrences are in Miami.
Yeah. But, I mean, you go to when Allen takes over in 2018, you have ultimately the Charles Clay drop game. Bill's offense is not particularly good that day. They lose that game 21-17. But then the rematch in Buffalo, I believe that's actually to end the season. Allen has five total touchdowns. It's the 42-17 butt whooping. Mm-hmm. The next year, Bills 31-21. Bills, the next game, 37-20. And it's just like that constantly. Up until actually, funny enough, more recent games in 22, Bills win 32-29. You've also got a 34-31 win in there. You mentioned the Tyler Bass game, 30-27. But also in there, 48-20, 31-10. I mean, like, the Dolphins just do not show up. And, you know, I listened to that Tua clip where he's kind of just putting it out there. Like, Allen does things that I just can't even dream of doing. And that's true. Like, I mean, if he said anything different, yeah, you can in some ways respect the almost, like, blind arrogance, because you sort of want that in a quarterback. You almost want that in most pro athletes. But I think he's just laying it out bare. Like this is what it is. I'm 6'1 to his 6'5, 6'6. I'm 210 pounds to his 250 pounds.
Right.
We are different breeds. The problem is, Tua, we've gotten one win over him. He's your closest competition. He's the guy your career is going to be compared to. Not because of your playing styles, but because you play each other the most. You're in the same division. And it's not even really a contest. There will be close games. That is unsurprising. But with that being said, they're 10-1 in the 2020s. It's not even really close. And now the Bills might be at their peak with Allen, McDermott, and the whole thing, with how they're doing everything. They've kind of figured out how they want to win. They're coming off an AFC championship. They're a younger team now. This might be one of, if not the best groups Allen has had. The opposite is true for Miami,
where they finally are hitting that bottoming out.
Mm-hmm.
They are finally hitting that valley. You mentioned that Buffalo is getting to what I would say is pretty much their peak performance at this point. Miami has hit its peak and has crashed out since then. The difference between hitting a peak and being at peak performance is that one of those is going to last a little longer. The Dolphins clearly showed that they just peaked, had their high moment, and that's it. It's over. It's done. Sayonara. And even within the same year, the Buffalo Bills take two games from them and the division after they score 70 points against the Denver Broncos. And to see how quickly Miami has fallen from there, and how harshly they have fallen since then is a sight to behold. And it makes me come into this game tonight thinking, it can't be that easy, can it? It's a divisional rival. Mm-hmm. It should be there should be a little juice in there. The Dolphins are backs against the wall, desperate. You hit 0-3 with this team, the way that they're looking right now.
Yeah, it's probably over.
People are losing jobs. And players on the roster are probably thinking about theirs now too. Right? Fear can be a powerful motivator. Or is it not fear anymore? Is it already in week two? Heading into week three, is it already apathy from the roster?
I wonder about that. Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN, he covers the Dolphins. He joined Chilton Bulldog yesterday. And one of, like, on the outside looking in, we look at like culture, apathy from the roster, the whole thing. And he more pointed to, no, people have just caught up to the offense. They're trying. The locker room might not actually be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. People have caught up to what they do. And he mentioned how both the Colts and the Patriots laid out exactly what they're going to do. Not particularly heralded defenses, by the way.
Right.
And I think Marcel was really, you know, it was nice to point that out. That, like, these weren't like the Minnesota defense with Brian Flores, right? Or even Tampa Bay with their
or what Atlanta's shown through 2 weeks.
Right. This is the Colts and the Patriots. Like, fine. They're fine units.
Colts and proceed to get run over by Bo Nix.
Right.
And
still win the game, though.
Still win the game, but defensively.
Yeah.
And then the Patriots.
Well, Vegas beat them.
And also, they just look like a roster that's not ready. And they did yield enough points to Miami to where, like, you're like, okay, you did do some things well, but you have a lot to look at and fix.
But Marcel, you kind of pointed out, like, they just laid it out to how they did it. Blitz Tua and take away his first read. He can't really throw outside of the numbers. And it's over. And even to that point, though, the Dolphins were able to put up 27 against New England.
Seven of them is a punt return.
So did they really have that good of a game? Definitely not at the end. Tua throws a terrible pick in the middle of the field.
On a comeback attempt.
And so it's just...
And then
I think even with the Bills' issues on defense, I look at how Joey Bosa's been performing. The secondary has looked very good. I don't really know how this goes. And you're right. It's a divisional game. There's a rivalry here. These teams see each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills, though, so good situationally. They are very good in these moments, especially primetime moments, even if it's Thursday night. They're very good in these moments. And with this sort of being the potential of, like, you can just slay the dragon, end it with Miami, arguably your biggest rival during this time, even though you've beaten them up on them regularly. This could be it. And I could absolutely just see the Bills barnstorm them. Whether it be James Cook going to run the ball 25 times tonight or Josh Allen's going to go, it doesn't matter.
And that's the sad part, is that they can put a beat down on Miami in a multitude of ways. The only thing that shows a little bit of inconsistency within their matchups with the Bills and the Dolphins is defensively. Sometimes they dominate them as well as the offense dominating Miami. Sometimes the defense doesn't. For example, last year.
Mm-hmm.
You point to that game last year, 30-27. It is a back-and-forth affair. But that's also the best chance Miami has. Because it's almost a guarantee at this point that the Bills' offense is going to run roughshod all over Miami. That Miami's only hope is that they can keep up for a day. And with how the season has started for them, it doesn't look like that's going to be a good chance. The Bills also, by the way, might have a pass rusher. That kind of pass rusher. Joey Bosa has already forced 3 fumbles in 2 games. You're telling me that a team that has placed 2 offensive linemen on injured reserve in 7 days is going to stop the Bills' defensive line, who had 4 sacks against the Jets? A team that yielded 5 sacks to New England after they took away Tua's first read? You're telling me the Bills can't do that?
Well, I think even it goes to this, too. Look who the Bills have had to play the first 2 weeks, quarterback-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It's been two of the best elusive, scrambling, rushing quarterbacks in the sport. For what you'll say about Justin Fields passing the ball, I probably won't disagree. But running the ball, he's been exceptional. That's who they've had to play the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you get a defense who has been pretty good in the pass rush, gets to tee off on a guy that might be one of the least mobile quarterbacks now, especially after some of the injuries he's picked up. You're right. Like, New England gets 5 sacks.
Quite honestly.
You're telling me Joey Bosa isn't going to – who, by the way, I mean, Sal brings up, and we'll talk to Sal at 11. Looks like he's having fun.
Mm-hmm. And there comes in the other portion of this. A couple times in this rivalry, Tua's been knocked out in Bills games. And it kind of reminds you of what he has been going through in his career. The fact that he keeps trying to tough it out through all these concussions, and there could be another chapter to that story tonight. And I don't want to see that. Because Miami has ultimately set him up to fail. Their general manager's inability to build an offensive line killed whatever promise that Tua had when he was drafted 5th overall. Because like you said, after all the injuries that he's picked up, he's not the same quarterback that he even was when he entered the league.
No, yeah, he already had a hip injury at Alabama.
But that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
That proved to be, he was fine.
Yeah, he could get through it, yeah.
He could still throw the football. He led the league in passing yards. It's fine. It's the multiple concussions that he has suffered in the pocket. And the inability to protect him. Because again, once you take his first read, and there's something that has to do with coaching, by the way. Oh, you want to be this quick hit offense? Yeah, when defenses know what you're doing and they take it away. And this is Mike McDaniel's biggest flaw. You have to have a quarterback that can improvise. And Tua has clearly shown he's not that.
No, and that's I've talked about that with McDaniel, where you look at the other offensive wunderkinds in the league that become head coaches, and they just put up oohs and boogles of points. Kyle Shanahan goes to Mac Jones, and he has his best game since his rookie year. I've talked about Kevin O'Connell going to Josh Dobbs for the Minnesota Vikings 2 years ago. They look just fine. Not great, but just fine. Green Bay. They go to Malik Willis. Great. Matt LaFleur goes to him, and it's just fine.
It's just fine.
And you see the almost exact opposite with Miami. Scott Thompson is a good playoff game against them, but it's much more just trying to stay in it. They keep throwing the ball. Last year, though, they couldn't get Tyreek Hill going, who's going to be a Hall of Fame receiver. Say what you will about him. He will be a Hall of Fame receiver, and he was arguably around his prime. They couldn't get him going. Jaylen Waddle paid a lot of money, couldn't get him going. And I think this is Marcel Louis-Jacques' biggest point, is that it's not even really the culture. People have just caught up to this super-powered offense, and now, yeah, they'll get theirs. Tua had a few deep completions, last week. But it's not the peak 70-point performance. It's not even where they could score 35 at will. 6 touchdown passes from Tua against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore.
Which was a game they choked.
It's not, yeah, it's not that anymore.
Oh, sorry, did I say that?
It's not that anymore. It's... And this is where I do think you could see a firing after tonight if it is embarrassing, because it's gotten to a point now that even the positives with Mike McDaniel are gone.
And as a general manager trying to find his way to stay on for a club for 10 years, you try to do the desperate thing.
I mean, you start playing politics. That's really what it comes down to.
It's wild that he has been through 3 head coaching changes and might have a 4th to fire. Absolutely wild to me.
I think the only thing I think that would keep this game close, the Bills' streak of turnover, winning the turnover battle, comes to an end. Which, mm-hmm. to be fair, it won't go on forever, right? It'll end eventually.
Not tonight.
But that's the thing, right? You're going up against a weak secondary. Probably not. But
not again, only that.
Fumbles could be a thing. What have you, right?
I'm going with the fact that Tua has shown a propensity to have turnovers immediately this season. He had 2 picks in his first 4 passes this year.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it's unlikely.
2 turnovers, excuse me.
Yeah, it's unlikely tonight. But again, like that's one of the ways. Or Devon Achane. And the Bills' run defense rears its ugly head that it's, if you were more playing the Jets, the Baltimore game is actually closer to what you are. Like that, like those are the ways I see it happening. It's not Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle killing them and, you know, Tyreek becoming Chiefs Tyreek again. It's been a long time since Bills fans have really been fearing him. It's Chiefs Tyreek Hill that you fear, not really Dolphins.
And even then, they've wanted to slow down Tyreek Hill in the past when it was Hill with the Chiefs to a point where Kelce became the problem. Hill would get slowed down, but it would be Kelce.
I don't see an avenue. And of course, the 11.5 point spread will tell you that. I just don't see an avenue in which the Dolphins can win this game. I can see, sure, an easy avenue where they keep it close. A lot of these games recently have actually been somewhat close.
Mm-hmm.
But where the vibes are at now with the Dolphins, and to be fair, where they're at with the Bills, they're on completely different trajectories. They're not even in the same state anymore. The Dolphins are hoping to survive. You mentioned if they fall to 0-3 tonight, what's the point? The season effectively is over. I mean, you'll pull up the statistics right. Of what's the percentage they'll make the playoffs. And I know Jeremy's old adage is if they're 0-2, do you really even deserve to be in the playoffs?
Yeah, if you're 0-3, you're not even a playoff team.
Yeah, you're 0-3. Who cares about playoffs? You're not a playoff team. Where the Bills, we're sitting here looking at their schedule. How many more games do they go in a row here, especially with they've got New England and New Orleans coming up, New Orleans next, before we're like, okay.
Orleans is the next game. I'm going to be driven mad by the time we even get to week 5 with the Patriots on how easy this is getting.
They're just on their entirely different stratospheres of what they're doing. And I look at last week.
Thank
almost.
Goodness week 1 was Baltimore, because if this is the next three-game stretch, oh my God, if this was all that they did to start the year, like say the Baltimore game doesn't happen and it's those games, it's the Jets, it's the Dolphins, the Saints, and the Patriots, just without that week 1, I'm probably bored. I'm probably waiting for Sabres hockey just so I could feel pain.
Well, yeah, then it quickly becomes to like, just get me to January, you know, Sabres, whatever you want. I need
to be able to feel something. Sabres, real quick, punch me in the ribs.
But like a part of me also is like really enjoying just how much they're able to really put their foot down on some teams. Look at last week. Like we mentioned it real quick, but Allen doesn't even have a particularly good game, and it's not a close contest.
Right.
They are dominant at the line of scrimmage. James Cook obliterates the Jets' defense. A lot of it before contact. And it's just, I could see a very similar thing happening in Miami. Against Miami, not in Miami.
And Miami, that offensive line.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is stupendously worse than the Jets' offensive line. And we talked to someone last week about the Jets and how they've got a piece in Armand Menbo.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins don't have anything like that up front. They don't.
Well, I mean, their entire right side of their line is hurt.
Even then, before they were hurt.
Yeah, before, yeah.
They were not a good offensive line already. And now they're hurt. And a bad offensive line gets worse. And a bad offensive line that the Bills have a tendency to tee off on got worse. And I hate having this kind of arrogance because it feels almost unnatural. Even for as good as the Bills are and as bad as Miami's been to start the year, It almost feels dirty to be this arrogant about a game to a point where 2 minutes into the show, I say, I'm bored. And my big question for the day is, there's no way this could be this easy, right?
It might be.
Ready? I want you to be genuinely honest with me. Okay, first of all, I'm probably asking the wrong person. I know you in offensive line and knowing like the names of all offensive linemen is probably not good. That's a stretch for a lot of common fans, right? It's even a stretch for all of us. I want you to tell me if you recognize one of the names of the five players starting on Miami's offensive line today. Larry Borom.
Good name.
So I've got a chemical element playing at right tackle.
Yep.
Keon Smith.
Also a good name.
Aaron Brewer.
Okay.
I'm going to butcher this. Jonah Savanea.
Nope.
And Patrick Paul.
I know Patrick Paul. That's it.
That's their starting left tackle. Miami's offensive line, by the way, is so injured there are already four players on IR.
Yeah.
Five.
Oof.
They signed Cole Strange.
That's right. They did do that. They're in a really bad spot. And I think that's where it can't be this easy. It's not that it's this easy. It's you add in bad vibes. You add in a really injured team, not just the offensive line, their secondary as well. Storm Duck not playing tonight, and he's not even one of their more...
The bad vibes, in addition to the injuries that they've stacked up on several positions, is harsh. Because it's not... So the offensive line, I mentioned there's five players on IR. And at corner, there's already three.
Yeah.
And another player out.
That's how you get to an 11.5 point spread. That's how that happens.
Hey, good news. We might see your boy Quinn Ewers tonight.
803-0550, the number to call. Vibe check for game day. Bills hosting the Miami Dolphins tonight. If you're out of the Buffalo TV market, we'll be on Amazon Prime, but of course right here on WGR as well. With pregame officially getting underway at 3 p.m. with Chopin the Bulldog, they'll actually be at the stadium as well for one of our special kind of in-person pregames. So if you are there, go check that out. Should be a great night. But pregame realistically going on all day. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. Your feelings for tonight. Do you think this could be a runaway game, or are you a little nervous? Dolphins might be able to keep this close. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Miami, last time they recovered an onside kick was the game week 17 of the 2017 season. That's how the Bills end up going to the playoffs. Sanders high up in the air, and Micah Hyde has it, and there he goes! Micah to the house!
Well, that's fun.
So I miss Micah Hyde.
Miami Dolphins memories, Micah Hyde taking an onside kick for a touchdown. That's so awesome.
God, you guys can't even do an onside kick thing, right?
Oh, man.
Even when they do a recover, which is mentioned in the commentary of that play, the Bills win anyway and make the playoffs.
Just rough. Just rough.
That's another piece to the lore, I guess, of Bills and Dolphins, by the way. Sean McDermott is so proficient against Miami, he breaks the drought.
Right.
Beating Miami.
In Miami, yeah. They did. That was their part of it. Then Cincinnati has to obviously go on and beat Baltimore. But that's part of it, is that, you know, Kyle Williams is able to score a touchdown. I don't necessarily know the score of it, but it never felt like Miami was like...
They needed an onside kick just to try to stay alive in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They score a late touchdown.
Bills win that game 22-16.
That was 2019, by the way, the onside kick reception.
Thank you.
Yes. My God. Miami, man. I keep asking the question, and I think it's just to prepare myself for 1:30 a.m. It can't be this easy, right? Because what the hell am I going to say at 1:30 in the morning when the Bills win 34-9?
I mean, hopefully, like, a defensive player. Like, but I'd love if it, we were, like, third game in a row. Ed Oliver's week one, Joey Bosa's week two, Greg Rousseau's week three. Like, that'd be kind of cool.
Well, that'd be great because Rousseau doesn't have some doesn't have any good metrics right now this year.
No. No. No, he does not. No.
I love how you're just...
I mean, like, a week before the season, I was like, I think a breakout year's coming for him. Like, he's going to be good. And through 2 weeks, they've been like, oh, no, it's the exact opposite.
No.
No, he has not had a good year. But so I'd like that if, like, it went Ed to Joey to Greg, and you're like, oh. All right.
That would be nice.
We're having three different pass rushers have great games in a row. It's not just one guy, right? Like, that'd be great. Cole Bishop has another really good game. He played very well against the Jets.
Including getting a sack of his own.
So, I mean, like, I think there's absolutely going to be things to talk about. I think more, though, leading into the game, really the storyline, and this may upset some Bills fans, but I think realistically the storyline is just how bad the Dolphins have got. They have not kept pace with the Bills even slightly. A big part of that is the quarterback differences and the fact that Josh Allen is inarguably top three at his position, where Tua is fighting to be top 10. And even then, there is a difference between the Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson tier and everybody else. There just is. And to that point, the Bills have been able to stop the Dolphins' offense. Not necessarily like completely shutting them down, but they've been able to stop
them. Not all the time, but
where a good amount of time. Since Allen's ascension, and even somewhat before that, they haven't been able to stop Allen once.
Not even Allen. There's a game where they can make the playoffs with a win. They don't stop Matt Barkley.
No.
That is how bad Miami's defense has been with Buffalo. There are two games where Miami slows down Buffalo since it's been the Allen McDermott Bills.
One of them was played on the surface of the sun.
Yep. And that one still I blame on execution more than anything. But
they blow them out in almost every statistic.
Yes. And then, of course, the one game where there's far more stakes to it. And even then, that one win that Miami has, they pour Gatorade all over the head coach, and it's this big old celebration. And you've proceeded to get your teeth kicked in the next six times.
So that last win, 21-19 in Miami, September 25th, 2022. First downs, Buffalo 31, Miami 15. Total net yards, Buffalo 497, Miami 212.
You even start to see the red zone failures of Kenneth Dorsey starting to show up in this game because it's the red zone that really kills them.
Time of possession, Buffalo 40 minutes, Miami just under 20.
Yeah, it's that they could not finish drives, including Allen. Seemingly out of gas, he throws this out pattern and it like skips to McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And then one play later, the butt punt happens. Where Trent Sherfield's hind should be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. Have you ever blocked a punt with your booty cheeks and it was your own team? Trent Sherfield proves to be a double agent because then he also catches a memorable rebound pass in the 17-14 win.
I just like that's
the wild carom. He secures the thing as he's falling out of bounds. Is incredible stuff. I think it was also the same end zone that the butt punt happens.
It might be, yeah. It's crazy to me that that's the last win the Dolphins have had over the Bills. Obviously, it's in 22, so it's actually quite a bit a while ago.
But the problem is that you also have been getting battered and lost six straight since then.
Mm-hmm. And before that, your last win was 2018 when Allen just misses Charles Clay in the end zone. Or you could argue Charles Clay drops it. Regardless, that play connects. They win it.
For Miami, in that moment, like Buffalo's still just trying to figure their bearings out. They're currently building back up. You should not have let them be in that game.
Yeah, no. 803-0550, the number two call. Vibe check for tonight. Bills will be hosting the Miami Dolphins for Thursday Night Football. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start today off with Ann on the line. Ann, how we doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
We are calling from our sister's trip and Holly and Sherry. And we're in Ohio and we're rooting tonight, but we are getting really nervous with your comments because overconfidence sometimes, you know, we got the Dolphins coming in. They're terrible, but sometimes the Bills play down when they're playing a team that isn't so good.
And
so
I totally
don't want to see that.
I totally get that. Thanks for the call. I just, for me at least, and this is where I'm going to sit with it. Where both teams are going, I can't see it. I cannot see the Dolphins surprising the Bills.
You know what I'm going to say to it? And this is almost villainous of me. I want there to be a good game. I want it to be a good game. Selfishly, I want it to be a good game. Mm-hmm. So am I trying to jinx it at this point? Actually, no. I'm trying to convince myself that it has to be a good game, right? I'm trying to convince myself like it can't be this bad. So I'm kind of doing the opposite.
I mean, I somewhat got there.
Because I'm perplexed.
Yeah, I somewhat got there earlier this week when I was mentioning the rivalry and how it's, to me at least, it's already kind of lost its luster. I don't have the generational hatred. I wasn't there during the 70s. I wasn't there during the 90s. What I know of Bills-Jets is the Bills kind of beat them up. And even when they were both bad, well, they were both bad. Like, they weren't taking anything from each other. And so, like, a part of me has, like, looked at other historic rivalries and gone, yeah, they haven't taken anything from me. Again, 90s and 70s and 80s fans, they have a different...
It's a different generation.
It's a different generation. It's a different feeling with the team. Sal talked about it with us. But for me, it's like, they haven't taken anything from me. This is just a butt-whooping of a division rival. For me, it's New England.
As a matter of fact, though, going further into Bills-Dolphins in this sense with the history, as you're bringing it up, the overall series is now 62, 60, and 1. There's an entire decade the Bills don't beat the Dolphins. In 20 attempts, which tells you since then it has been primarily Bills, and especially since 2018. And now you can even add to the additional lore of Bills break the playoff drought in Miami. The Bills celebrate breaking the playoff drought in Miami. A team that has the longest drought of winning a playoff game. How far the Dolphins have fallen organizationally is something that should be studied. But if I'm talking about recency and where they are right now, I've got a head coach saying, in order to win the games, you can't lose the games. Like,
yeah, he's devolved into word salad.
He's worse than that.
He seems like a guy that kind of is just waiting.
I've got a 7-year-old nephew that can list it off better than he can.
But honestly, like at a certain point, you almost do feel bad for Mike McDaniel because this is a guy's career, the whole thing.
Yes.
But he feels like a guy that is waiting for just to be handed the box
They've
to clean out
broken
his office.
Him.
Yeah.
That's the part I'm getting to. They've broken him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for many Bills fans, I say it carefully. But you could almost start to feel bad for that team.
Almost. It's always...
And I want to make sure I say it with precision. I feel bad, but that's because the Dolphins haven't hurt me. The Dolphins haven't hurt you. New England did. And then there's the Jets.
And then there's...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jets. We'll go back to the phones. Eddie is next up. Eddie, how are we doing?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
I'm just calling in. I was pretty scared, pretty nervous about the Dolphins a few years back when, Tua was lighting up the league and McDaniel was there. They thought he was, next Bill Parcells. Like, it was the one game with the Bills that Matt Milano put a hit on Tua, and he got a concussion. I think it's been downhill since then. I don't think he has the courage to stay in there any longer. I think he's gun shy now, and it just hasn't been the same for the Dolphins, which I love. I think that's my opinion on it. What do you think?
Yeah, Eddie, thanks for the call. I don't know if this is the same season. I mean, Derek, you've mentioned it. Like,
right.
The Bills, kind of alone, have given Tua some of his biggest injuries. I will say they were absolutely on the rise in 23. You've mentioned it. That 70-20 game immediately followed up by the
Bills' offense being the buzzsaw, 48-20.
But even then, that season, they had the inside track to the division. They go on quite a good run there. They're 9-3 going into, I think this is a Thursday night game as well, against Tennessee. Then they lose to Will Levis. And it's a historic collapse. They lose that 28-27. They beat the Jets. They beat, effectively at that time, considered the NFC version of themselves in Dallas. And then they lose it all. They lose 56-19 to Baltimore. And then they lose that Bills game. You mentioned Trent Sherfield and all that, 21-14. It almost, like, I think you're right. Like, ultimately, that 70 point is their peak, and then it all kind of collapses. Really, looking back at it all now, it's losing to Tennessee. It's giving the Bills an opportunity to take the division back, and then they do. And since then, it has been all downhill for them. Again, I know the two injury could be in that same season. I forget, so apologies. But that has also been a big part of this as well, is that Tua has taken massive injuries. He has missed a lot of games for them in this run here. And it has just not been right for them. And in part as well, you do have to wonder about a guy of Tua's size, already picked up injuries in college, what have you. I know it's been brought up endlessly between Chargers fans and Miami fans of what if Miami did just pick the physical freak out of Oregon in Justin Herbert. I mentioned it, though, with the rivalry. I think the rivalry is far more juicier if that's the case. If there's Herbert and Allen.
Punchback.
If there's any punchback, where now it really is just they're the practice punching bag. They're the team you can get excited for because there is the historic element to it, and you get to embarrass them normally on a national stage as well. 803-0550, the number to call. Vibe check for tonight's game as the Bills will take on the Miami Dolphins for Thursday night football. Pre-game technically going on all day, but will officially begin at 3 p.m. Chopin the Bulldog, they'll be down at the stadium for today's game, so go check that out if you at all have time. Sal Capaccio will be joining the show at 11 o'clock. We'll get a word in on the Bills injury report, the Dolphins injury report, Sal's feelings for tonight as well. But hopefully take your phone calls when we come back. You'll listen to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Hour number one of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show continues to roll along here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you on Bills game days. The Bills will host the Miami Dolphins for Thursday Night Football. And today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We go back to the phones here. Vibe check for tonight's matchup. Rick is up next. Rick, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Doing well.
Hey, so listen, I've been around a while. I'm 59. I've been watching this team since, I was probably 7-8 years old. And I can agree with the, what's that saying? They say where we're going to have a letdown when we're playing a team that's, below
trap
us.
Trap game, oh yeah.
We don't want to get caught in the trap. But let's think about that. Over the last 4 or 5 years, between Josh and our coach, McDermott, I feel like these guys are above that. Think of it. Maybe I can't remember. I can't think of a single one. I think the guy's mindset on this team is too right to even allow that to happen. I really do.
I have had some track games, by the way, Rick. Yeah, we looked for this too. I can think of a few with McDermott, but they are a few years ago.
They're a few years ago. Everyone infamously remembers the Jaguars Urban Meyer, but that's long enough ago that like it kind of ends up in the back burner. Or it's also, as Rick mentions, it's now so infrequent that that's the first game you think of. Now allow me to give you a made-up stat to help force my narrative. The answer to your question, though, Rick, is 2022. When the Buffalo Bills, for the first time, lose to Zach Wilson. The Bills are 6-1 heading into this game. They just beat the Packers on primetime. And then they go to New York and lose to Zach Wilson and the Jets 20-17. That is, by definition, a trap game. Why I don't count the 2023 loss is because everyone's on a clean slate. And Aaron Rodgers is supposed to start that game. Mm-hmm. And he does. And now for my made-up stat. The Buffalo Bills have lost to Zach Wilson more times than they have to Tua Tagovailoa. And the made-up version of the stat is Wilson does not get credit for the 2023 victory because Aaron Rodgers starts.
Mm-hmm.
But Rodgers plays all four snaps. So call it a half win, right? Because quarterback wins aren't a stat. We're making it all up as it goes anyway. But you can also say that the Bills have lost to Zach Wilson more than they've lost to Tua Tagovailoa. Comfortably even say that. Which means, and also, they've lost more recently to Zach Wilson than they've lost to Tua Tagovailoa.
Yep.
Because that's also in that season. Tua does it in week 3. Zach Wilson does this in week 9. That is how bad it has been for Tua against the Bills in particular. That Zach Wilson has won 1.5 times since you've beaten them. Which means Miami's best chance of victory here is probably to throw Zach Wilson in just to confound everybody.
803-0550, the number two call. We'll get more of a word in on this game. Sal Capaccio, who will be part of the call tonight, will join us at the top of the hour. So stay tuned for that. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.